for this one here.
Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial service throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage's future focus is driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing peace of mind and protecting our future for being being a certified partner in science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial service to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
There you go.
Thank you.
Heritage Building Maintenance. I've been waiting. It has been a couple of weeks. We give him some time. Our next guest, it's David Eicholt. He is at David Eicholt on Twitter. David, anything going on in Iowa City that we don't know about?
I don't know what you're talking about, Steve. It's been a very low-key last month or so with Iowa athletics. I can't possibly imagine a couple storylines have been going on.
Nothing that we can think about. Before we hit on maybe some football in that, let's talk a little bit about the men's and women's basketball team. Women's team played really well, have played really well. Turnovers and a little bit of foul trouble in both the K-State game and the Connecticut game. I think once they get their rotation set a little bit better, I think the Iowa women are going to be okay. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, the reality is I think they just went cold in that second half. I mean, there was a stretch in that second quarter scene where I thought their defense was absolutely phenomenal, and I tweeted out that they looked like a Final Four team. I mean, I think that a couple other guards and a couple other people need to continue to get involved with the offense. Caitlin cannot go 0 for 7 or 0 for 8, wherever she was from three-point range. It's just not possible for Iowa to win those games when she shoots like that from three-point range. But Kate Martin, I thought, was fantastic. And if you can get 10 to 12 points out of her a night, combined with everything else that she brings to the table, that's a very good sign going forward. And I also liked what Gabby Marshall brought to the table. If she can get back to that three-point shooting prowess that she has shown throughout her career, I thought her defense was spectacular. I do think that Iowa can compete with the UConns in the world. I thought Iowa just couldn't finish the job, but there were flashes in there where you're kind of sitting back thinking, okay, if they get things clicking at the right time, it's very conceivable and realistic to see this team potentially go to, you know, an Elite Eight or maybe even a Final Four or farther, depending on the matchup. But I saw more good than bad for sure against UConn.
I did too. Now, switching over to the men's team, and I am on record, I've said it a lot of times, that I thought the Iowa Hawkeye season goes as well as Patrick McCaffrey goes. And that can mean that he gets 10 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a couple of blocks. He doesn't have to be the leading scorer. He just has, as he goes, they go. And, you know, as the season went, I'm like, okay, it's kind of rounding into shape. And then you see the negative side of it when he doesn't play well and he doesn't make a bucket and he doesn't make a free throw and he doesn't have an assist and he doesn't have a rebound. Iowa's going to have a hard time winning because I don't know if the other guys can do that without him. Do you agree with that, or do you think that they're going to be okay even with Patrick McCaffrey having an off game?
You know, I think he can be an X factor. I think there are a lot of variables in the TCU game specifically. Number one, I thought Iowa's half-court defense was actually very strong. I think they got beat on the backdoor cuts more than they should have. But Iowa gave up a ton of second chance points. They turned the ball over 15 times. That translated, I think, 23 points for TCU. As you mentioned, Patrick McCaffrey really struggled. But you saw Aaron Ulis show a little bit more of a scoring prowess, the pull-up mid-range. You saw him shoot from three-point range good. Desante Bowen, I think, put together his best back-to-back games of the season so far. So you're feeling better about the guard play. I think Iowa needs to find a way to handle those teams with the extra big. I mean, TCU had Eddie Lampkin, who I think is 6'11", 265, and he only had 9 points and 8 rebounds, but they were plus 25 with him in the game, and I think that TCU is just out-hustled Iowa. I think that Patrick is certainly going to play an X factor this year, but I'd also challenge this. Chris Murray's not going to shoot 4 for 17 and 4 for 14 in back-to-back games again this season. You can bookmark it, you can frame it, you can put it in a poster. It's not going to happen again this season. But as you mentioned, I think they can be an X factor. I think the TCU game is a good learning opportunity, but at the same time, they have to learn from it and be able to flush it because they have Georgia Tech tonight, who's not great, but it's a Power 6 team. They got Duke. They have Iowa State, which is, I think, 44 hours after Duke, which is an insane turnaround. Then they have Wisconsin. I mean, Iowa's schedule is going to be very strong where they can't really linger on the sort of missed opportunities because there are plenty of them ahead. So I'm with you. I think Patrick can be an X factor, but I still think you have to take the good with the bad in that TCU game because I think there are plenty of both.
And you're going to have that TCU, Iowa State, Duke, that run they have to do. Those are all really – we're going to beat you with defense, and if our offense is going, we're tough to beat. And that's going to be tough on the Hawkeyes to play a team like that that's kind of long, lanky, not being to outscore people. Looking forward to that, just staying with basketball for one more question, looking forward to that for both teams, women's and men's. When they have that Iowa State games, what do you think is going to be the outcome?
I do think that Iowa hosting Iowa State and Carver Hawkeye, I'm more confident about the women than the men.
Yeah.
I've been very impressed with Iowa State men. I think that offensively they're still struggling, but their defense is so good. It is so physical on the perimeter, especially. I think UConn was just a bad matchup for them. But I'm not going to bet against Caitlin Clark and Carver Hawkeye. I'm just not, especially given the way that last year's game ended. I think Caitlin's going to drop a 35 to 40 piece against Iowa State.
Oh, she's got a chip on her shoulder, that's for sure.
Yep, and I think Monica Sozano will step up. The men's side of it, not that I think that Iowa can't compete with Iowa State, but they're going to be 44 hours or so fresh off Duke. Yeah. And to be able to scout this Iowa State team, it's such a tough turnaround. I think the crowd will play a factor into it. And I'm very intrigued about what Iowa's energy level is going to be in that game because the adrenaline that's going to be used when you play Duke in Madison Square Garden, it's going to be at a very, very high level. So I'll pick Iowa State for the men very tentatively, but I also think that the Iowa women are going to be able to get it done. I know the Iowa State women's team is phenomenal again this season, but I can't bet against Caitlin Clark and Carver. I just can't do it.
You're going to know how good Euless and Perkins are when they play Iowa State, because they're going to make them work. That's for sure.
No, I'm with you. And I think Tony Perkins has done a very nice job this season. I think he's meant to be a one, maybe a 1-2 kind of combo. When you bring in DeSante Bowen, you bring in Aaron Euless that can run that point guard spot. Even Connor McCaffrey. I mean, the reality is I think Brandon has a bunch of weapons that can be very versatile. I think there's a lot of different lineup combinations they can use. I think Iowa needs to continue to rebound the ball well. I think they'll shoot well from their perimeter. Iowa in neutral site environments, more than anything else, is very intriguing when they shoot from three-point range. Go back to the Richmond game. Go back to, as you know, last couple of games that Iowa's played. Go back to last year, the neutral games. They just don't seem to shoot that well. But on the road, they hold their own. They do a nice job. But those neutral site games, Iowa just cannot find the bottom of the net from the perimeter. And when you're as offensive reliant as Iowa is, you have to be able to make those 35, 40, 45% three-pointers.
I've been pretty difficult and pretty tough on Iowa State, how they ended their year. Questions about Tom Manning, questions of not having a special teams coordinator. So, and looking at who's going to leave Iowa State, who's going to jump in the transfer portal, who's going to do that. I'm going to turn that in on you now. Padilla, you lose an offensive lineman. With just some of the stuff that's going on up there, does it look like there's going to be a small exodus, not a big exodus, or, you know, what's feet on the ground say?
You know, I think just to be fair to the players and to be fair to the program, I really don't want to speculate on specific names.
No. I'm okay with that. I'm just wondering, are there people that are thinking that?
Absolutely. I mean, you're ranked 130th in offense, Dean. I mean, there's guys – you look at what Charlie Jones has done at Purdue, for example, the wide receiver room, I think you have to re-recruit. I mean, I think you have to re-recruit some of the stars that you had in that offense, and the reality is that still might not be enough. Iowa might have to promise big wholesale changes to that, because the reality is in modern college football, you cannot have two wide receivers that have 10 or more catches in an entire season.
Yeah.
You can't have two wide receiver receiving touchdowns, one from Nico Reganey, one from Arlen Bruce. That's not feasible. That's not winning football in modern days. I know Iowa wins by defense and special teams, but the last 2 years of Iowa football has been a case study. because there will be no team in the history of college football that wins as many games as Iowa does in as weird of ways as Iowa does. You can bookmark it. It's not going to happen. So I think there is a worry in Iowa City with the open transfer portal, with everything else. You have to re-recruit your own guys. And I think that, you know, over the next couple of weeks, especially December 5th, I think we're going to, you know, I think we're going to see some changes, whether it be coaches, whether it be players. I don't see it feasible that Iowa's going to be able to keep it together. And the reality is they shouldn't want to keep it together based on what we've seen the last 2 years.
Isn't the biggest thing of I think you just said it, where they're going to have to re-recruit these guys to stick around. That starts with changing the face of the offense. I mean, from leadership down, correct?
No doubt. And I think that I don't think Kirk's going to fire him. I think there's been smoke for the last couple of months about Brian potentially jumping ship to an NFL gig to be able to coach offensive line. I certainly think that's possible. I think that's a way that it's more of a mutual parting of ways more than
anything
else.
Lucky me. He goes to the Ravens. He goes to my Ravens. Lucky me.
And you know what? At least Brian, I know people, you know, crap on him for an offensive coordinator role. They don't like him as a play caller. The dude knows how to coach positional football.
No, I agree.
He's a very, very intelligent
The Ravens would
mind,
take him, by the way.
I'm with you.
So I agree with that.
Tyler Linderbaum might love to have that reunite with
him.
Oh,
God, yeah. The other one, and I agreed with you today, Cade McNamara would be a great get. If you don't make changes, you're not getting a transfer portal quarterback to come there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cade McNamara, I think he wants to stay in a pro-style offense. And if I was going to take a transfer quarterback, this is the one that makes sense. He's been in Big Ten action. This is a guy who started a college football playoff game. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, 6'1", 205, can maneuver a pocket, can not scramble downfield to get yards, but he can extend plays, which is what Iowa needs. And it's a guy who's an accurate passer, you know, 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on 64.6% completion percentage during his Big Ten championship year. And you have a guy like Caleb Johnson stabilizing the run in the backfield. I think this makes a lot of sense. I know for a fact that there's mutual interest between Iowa and Cade McNamara. And if I'm Iowa, I put the full court press on McNamara, because if you get him, you're more likely to be able to keep some of those, you know, guys I mentioned a little bit earlier. If you want to re-recruit your own guys, okay, we have a Big Ten champion. We have a college football playoff quarterback coming in, so he may as well stay. I mean, the reality is if Iowa lands him early in the process, that's not only going to help retain current guys, that could also help recruit current guys that may enter the NCAA transfer portal.
Once again, we're talking to David Eichold. He's at David Eichold on Twitter. Surprised that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan handled Ohio State like that?
Very.
I was too. I was shocked.
Without Blake Corum carried that offense. But I give a lot of credit to Harbaugh. I think JJ McCarthy is a stud quarterback, but they just let it rip downfield against Ohio State. And Ohio State's secondary for the second year in a row was absolutely exposed. I mean, Michigan doesn't have a lot of elite wide receivers. They have very good players, but they just exposed that Ohio State defense time and time again. And they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. So I think, can you give Harbaugh and them a lot of credit, especially for the way that they were able to run away with it? Because my money certainly would have been on Ohio State, not only to win, but to cover the spread based on how much they've been talking about all throughout the offseason.
If you're Ryan Day, and now you've had that happen 2 years in a row, you're in Columbus, game day's in there, or whoever was there. It might have been Fox. Fox was there. And people in Columbus are cheering and yelling for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, you have got to look yourself in the mirror and go, what in the world am I? What alternate universe am I in?
It's almost crazy to me that we hear this talk about, you know, Ohio State fans wanting to fire Ryan Day. You know, every time Nick Saban loses a game, like, oh, we're going to fire him. And you're covering the University of Iowa, yourself being an Iowa State fan, what are you sitting there thinking? God, what a first world problem.
Exactly.
I mean, Ryan Day is 45-5, for goodness sake. He's made college football playoff appearances, and you want to get rid of him?
It's incredible.
I'm with you. I think that Ohio State fans want to beat Michigan more than anybody on the planet. I think it's one of the best rivalries in college football, maybe even across sports. So every time they lose that game, it's like they go 5-7 during the regular season, Michigan probably knocking them out of college football playoff contention. It's like you said, it really is just wild. And, you know, that's just the level of expectations that they've set. And, you know, as first world problems as it may seem, you got to give them a lot of credit because they certainly, they've earned that sort of reputation to be able to uphold that.
We got a minute and a half left. If USC loses in the Pac-12 championship game, I can see Ohio State jumping over them. I want to ask you, if TCU loses in the Big 12 game and then are 12-1, does Ohio State have a reason to be mad if they don't jump over TCU?
They may not have a reason, but they're still going to be mad, Steen.
Yeah. You can't do that. You know, that's that part of then don't – I told Scott today early on the show, then you don't have championship games anymore because – no one's going to want to play in them if losing means they're going to be knocked out. I mean, that was my thought process too. And Ohio State has to worry about Alabama jumping them because of the college football playoff, people who nobody trusts either. So, I mean, it's danged if you do and danged if you don't.
What I've always said, and I'll stand by it, it's an unpopular opinion, but I love the 12-team playoff. It took me a long time to be able to come around to it. It's about the TV money, et cetera, but Steen, have we had one college football playoff where you sat back and said all four teams deserve to be in there? The answer is no. You knew who the top two or top three teams were.
Yep.
So we're going from four undeserving teams, or maybe one or two undeserving teams, two deserved, and you're expanding that. Parity could happen, upsets could happen, Cinderella runs could happen, which is great. I'm all for it. But there's no need to expand it if you can't find four teams that want to make a playoff and can compete.
Exactly, and that's the issue. But with transfer portal and all that, boy, those teams, Alabama can lose. All those teams can lose. David, as always, buddy, you are the best. Thank you for being upfront and honest. That was awesome, dude. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Take care.
David Eichel. I love it. He's so good, and he's so young. It's incredible. Scott and I will be right back.
Here's a look at traffic. Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Second segment already. Second hour already.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott over there.
Hello.
I'm here. We are coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at happyhour_SS, at ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Once again, I want to thank David Eichholt for coming in. Listen, we talked in that first segment today. Both programs have issues. Both programs have things they need to work on. They are, you know, I hopefully they'll work through them and they understand that, but you're seeing transfer portal news start leaking out a little bit.
Right.
I mean, that's the part of this. And I don't, once again, until you limit coaches from moving from spot to spot, I have a hard time saying that you have to do the same, that you can limit what student athletes can do. With that being said, coaches need to realize that this isn't about recruiting your next class. You have to recruit all your classes
right.
all the time because you just don't know and you need to know. You have a handle on that.
You have to recruit the team you've been coaching all year long at the end of
absolutely
of a discipline. I mean,
yep.
Well,
when you don't meet expectations,
right.
you need to go back in.
But somebody has to get in his ear. I'm talking Kurt Ferentz. Somebody has to be in his ear that this is not, I understand the way you are. You are stone solid like an oak tree that you, I'm loyal, I'm this, I'm not going to even address this until we're done with the bowl game. It's going to be done before that.
Way before that. If you don't lock in Cade McNamara in the next 4 days,
right.
he's going somewhere.
Right.
And it's not going to be there. So, you know, that is what college sports is becoming.
And this is so entwined, like you said it off the air. I mean, McNamara is going to want to know, where's Caden Proctor? Who's going to be calling my play? I mean, all these different questions.
All my receivers coming back?
Right.
Is both my tight ends, Laporta's gone, are my tight ends not going to want to jump?
Right.
You know, where's my off? I've already lost one offensive lineman. Am I losing another?
Well, this, I mean, you can shore the wall up, or you can take the cork out of the dam, because it'll start crumbling quickly.
And it can do that quickly. Silas leaving for Iowa State, that's sad. He was fun to watch. Now, some of the things with that is when you run a type of offense that Iowa State does, he was kind of small as a running back, but he was fun to watch, and right. he had good games.
Right.
It might be a higher level than what he, you know, a Power Five might be a higher level than what he's for. I don't know, but I mean that's still sad. I mean, he's a great kid.
Right.
And you don't want to lose kids, because you don't want to have that first one and then go, oh my gosh, here we go.
But doesn't it really make you realize how we should have slowed down when we were watching Montgomery
and then Breece Hall and just enjoy
Lord the talent.
You know, and I've said, how many times have I said this year too, that we did not understand Charlie Kolar and Chase Allen. We didn't understand Brock Purdy. Oh my gosh, look, he lost six games his senior, and it doesn't matter. We could have been way worse than what we were, and you just
don't realize. Because of some very special people, yeah.
You know, and there are NFL teams right now that are learning that. I mean, I watched that game last night, and when you look at the Indianapolis Colts and you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Indianapolis Colts should right now be going, okay, who are we going to have replace Andrew Luck? And Andrew Luck left early. Now, he's a Stanford grad. He was really smart. Mm-hmm. He's from a wealthy family. He didn't need football for money. He needed football because he loved it.
Right.
But he didn't love it enough to not be able to get out of bed in the morning. And the Pittsburgh Steelers did the exact opposite of that. They kept theirs too long.
Right.
They didn't. Mike Tomlin is so into that they just kept him. And kept him.
I enjoyed watching Kenny Pickett.
He's not going to be bad. I agree.
No.
He fits in.
I got 3 out of 4 legs on my parlay.
Again.
Because, no.
You are 75%er, man.
I hit over the weekend.
Did you?
We'll talk about that later. But anyway, no, I guess I put my chips a little too heavy in with Jeff Saturday. I thought, he really has the team rallying to play.
It's just not a very good team.
Right, exactly.
No matter what he does.
And
it's
they did some good things. They were moving the ball at times.
He messed up on his timeouts. But so did Tom Brady and Tampa Bay.
That's one of the things. Because everybody's like, man, see, you got this coach that shouldn't be a coach. You know, he's got the highest level he's ever been at was at the high school level. Sure, he was a player, all these different things. But see, he didn't even know how to do clock management. He had 3 timeouts. He didn't do anything with all that. So what's he have to do today? And he came out, look, I screwed up. We had the drill. This is what we're going to do. We had a plan, and we went with the plan. Yeah, I should have intervened and said, beep, you know.
Todd Bowles has been coaching in the NFL for 15 years and didn't know to call a timeout. And he has the biggest Hall of Fame quarterback of all time who, I think, to spite him, didn't call a timeout. Because I think Tom Brady's just like, okay, I really didn't like Bruce Arians sometimes, and he is just so loosey-goosey, and I just couldn't deal with the loosey-goosey. But this guy knows nothing except for how to line up and try to figure out a way to stop offenses. I mean, he has no idea how to be a head football coach. What was I thinking? Because at least with Bruce, I could be yelling at these guys, and Bruce, I think Tom Brady's like, oh, I messed that one up.
Yeah, I think he's got to scratch his head, look in the mirror, and just go, well, yeah, I made my decisions. I guess I'm going to stick with it. So
I guess that's just the way it goes. So
talk to me about your Jaguars-Ravens game.
Okay. I've been waiting to talk about that.
Looking at my Jaguars 28 and Ravens 27.
This is the Baltimore Ravens with a weapon. They have lost 5 games that they were up at least 7 points going into the fourth quarter.
Oh yeah, I know.
They're the best team in football if they just win those
finish
games. And I look around, and I look at Tua. Tua last year, under Brian Flores, was ready to give up football.
Yes. You've heard that come out. He looked in the mirror and said, do I really suck that bad?
It is not fun. And to see him say that, and Mike McDaniel comes in, and Mike McDaniel goes to ownership and goes, we need one thing. See what Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't want Tyreek Hill. I know they don't want Tyreek Hill because it doesn't fit their stadium. It doesn't. The people, they love him when he scores, but they hate everything else that he does.
Right. See you can get away with that in Miami.
Yeah, and they're like, all we care about is that he opens up, and they have Jaylen Waddle, and that opened up in Mike McDaniel's brain and Tua's brain, and watching him, it's been a ton of fun. And I love Tua because as much as I love my brother and I love it when the Dolphins are doing well, if Lamar Jackson had either of those two, Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle, mm-hmm. that he could just throw. He had DeSean Jackson, 37 years old. They should have won that game. He hit him with a 40-yard pass that he didn't even set his back foot, and he threw it 45 yards down the field, and the guy mm-hmm. caught it. All he needs, they've ruined him, and now they've ruined Lamar Jackson into where does he go? Because in order, the Baltimore Ravens can't pay him because they still can't put anybody in him. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, and trust me, dude, love you, call me if you need some advice. Don't sign there because they're never going to help you.
Right.
Go somewhere where you have an offensive. Mike McDaniel, I get it. Tua, great player. Mike McDaniel with Tua at 6'4 and 235 pounds.
I agree.
Holy cow. Yeah. But Tua has done. I mean, if
you mean Justin Herbert in Miami,
right?
Yes.
you're looking in that now. No matter where Lamar goes, I mean, he has to think about what kind of money he takes to where he wants to go.
Right.
And I love John Harbaugh, and I think he's a great coach. He's a player's coach. They have so wrongly treated Lamar Jackson. I mean, they have a gold mine, and they've blown it up. And left little specks because that's what he has. Their thinking was, if we can get to 63-yard field goal, we win the game. And they would have because they got to 67 and it missed by what?
Right.
By
would have made it at 65.
Yep. It would have made it with 2 yards less.
When he released that
I thought it was good.
Holy Lord.
He took it a little bit too far out to have his normal come in instead of. I mean, the guy's amazing. I mean, that's the other thing. If you have a kicker in the NFL, you're going to win. But, you know, you're going to see a whole slew of coaches get fired again. All these, and Scott, I always say, you know, it's going to come around again. You know, defensive coordinators are going to be loved and they're going to get head coaching jobs again. There is not the best defensive coordinator right now that's in the league that's winning is Sean McDermott with the Buffalo Bills because he has Josh Allen. And he still doesn't treat Josh Allen like an offensive coordinator team would treat him
right.
and do that. That's it. But, man, they're still going, well, you know, we could hire this guy. Look at the defense. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The reason defenses are good in the NFL right now is because there's 16 teams that don't have a quarterback. But the other 16 teams that do have a quarterback, if you have a defensive coordinator for your coach, you're missing out on winning a Super Bowl.
The game has changed. Yes.
Yeah.
The game
has massively changed. You can bring somebody in and run all kinds of different and offenses are going to have to change because the way they're doing now. The Kansas City Chiefs, besides Travis Kelce, and I get Travis Kelce is an amazing human being.
Mm-hmm.
There's not another wide receiver on that field that another NFL football team would go, yeah, I want him on my team as a number one, number two, number three, number four.
Right.
It's all Patrick Mahomes. It is, dude, he's must-see TV.
Yeah, he is pretty impressive.
Because he we're going to go.
Yes.
280. That's all he ever says.
Right.
That's all the man ever says. 380.
Yeah.
And he's doing all this stuff.
It's a bath bomb guy.
He's really good at those too.
Yes. But it.
Josh Allen might have a better season. Justin Herbert might be a better athlete. I got 2 minutes left in a game. That's who I'm giving the football to if I have a chance.
I can't disagree with you. I cannot disagree with you. I he does the right things. He uses the weapons that he has. I mean, like I said, you can't go against the combination of him and Kelce. It's just over and over again.
Did you hear one thing they said in the television broadcast the other day? The thing that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are working the most on in practice, on extra time, is Andy Reid wants him to complete a pass thrown behind his back. That's where they're at with him. Hey, can you do this? How about the next time you jump up in the air and twirl and throw the ball where you're going? They're trying to think of things to do just to have fun.
Oh, well, they're having fun. Let's see here. They are 9-2.
Sitting on top of the world.
Sitting on top of the AFC West. Only got the Eagles. But like I said, I was looking at this earlier. You got both Miami and Buffalo sitting at 8-3. You look at Buffalo and they are 0-2 in their own conference. So,
no, they are.
That's
not good for them. That gets them the one thing that nobody wants to do. And this is where I'm hoping Miami helps with this. Nobody cares if they go to Miami in the playoffs. That's okay, right? Because it's warm.
But
nobody wants to go to Buffalo.
No.
That's a place that just had 110 inches of snow in 2 days.
Right.
Nobody wants to go there.
So that means their home game would be in Detroit.
Exactly. which is funny, by the way. It's just the NFL right now, it is seriously the haves and the have-nots. And one of the have-nots right now, and I know you have a Packer household, and I get it. Him grimacing and then coming on the Pat McAfee show, from what he looked like on, was it Sunday or Monday? I don't even remember what day the Green Bay, it was Sunday night game, right?
Yes.
And grimacing and getting beat again, and then going on the Pat McAfee show today going, yep, oh, I feel great today. I'm okay, dude. What's up?
Broken thumb.
What's up?
Ribs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Come on, he is such a great quarterback, and he used to be that great human too. He's not a great human anymore.
Well, you just thought he's that quirky guy. You know, he's that eccentric. Man, look at him. He wears his hair in a ponytail on one side.
He says things. And Pat McAfee and A.J. Hawk look at each other and go,
what?
Wow. A.J. Hawk sitting there going, if Aaron Rodgers said one of those things to me and I was his teammate, I would punch him square in the nose.
I was going to say, wasn't A.J. Hawk a
Green Bay Packer?
Exactly, but that's back when it was a different time.
But they, you know, and he did, so A.J. Hawk did, he was part of the picking team for ESPN.
Yes.
He was there for, I don't remember if he was there for Fox or whatever. He was the one of the people that were there. It was ESPN because McAfee was there too. And somebody said something about Urban Meyer, and you could just see A.J. Hawk go, oh, if he was standing here, I'd throat punch him. You know?
Yep.
But what happened in that game against the Ravens is what I've been telling you all along. Trevor Lawrence is an elite quarterback. He's going to be an elite quarterback. He's only going to get better. Yep. He made throws that there's six people in the league can
look what they're going to get next year.
Yep, and they got all those
surrounding.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We got one more segment left. Stick with us. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
When you're raised on a steady Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment on this Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott, my partner, sitting across from me.
Looking to bet Jim. Yeah.
There you
MGM.
Go.
One of our sponsors. I get to do that.
You do get to do that. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @HappyHour_SS, @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, and @1700TheChamp. Facebook's @1700TheChamp as well. Tomorrow night, you're going to get UNI Panthers and the Bradley Bears. 6:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022-2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep both staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I do believe Palmer Group are coming tomorrow. Mr. Andrew Steenblok making his
Did you just call him a Palmer Grouper?
Yep, a Palmer Grouper making his appearance in here because there's NBA to have talk and he wants to talk. And he's like, can I come in tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, you can come in whenever you want.
So we need to
open door.
Meet in a booth down at Big Grove is what we need to do.
Yeah, that would be fun. We got to figure that out. We got some stuff we need to do and some people that we need to bring in and all kinds of things. We got December to start planning, so there we go. Want to thank David Eicholt for coming in today. Wanted to get that talk. I think he understands that people are okay. The big Kool-Aid drinkers, they're fine, but there are other people that are going, hey, at some point, you have to you're they're not going to go to – they're going to be in divisions next year, but then they're going to be out of divisions. That means you're going to have to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and you're going to have to play a couple of them all the time. And what do you do?
Well, and then the thing I like about talking to David Eicholt is you and I can have opinions of, well, it's as plain as the face on your – you need to do this, change this. He actually has ties. Actually has knowledge. And he's
and he'll tell us when we're crazy,
right? And he actually has done research, and he has.
But he didn't cuckoo us a lot today.
No, but and he has sources, stuff like that, which he's very tight lipped about. Which that's
good with me.
If you're not, you don't get your sources anymore. Right. But he's a sense of reality. Sometimes when we're talking about, I mean, this is as plain as the face. You know, the day is long. You need to change this and change this, and then he's like, well, there is probably going to be some outlets.
Yes. And you can tell that they're going to have to resell. They're going to have to re-recruit.
I think that
was pretty clear.
I think that is a bigger thing. I think that is a bigger thing than we even realize is going on behind the scenes right now.
I think it is too. Okay, let's talk a little bit. We haven't talked hardly at all. Well, here's the one thing I wanted. I read this list today and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, if you're looking for a running back. Now the problem is nobody wants to pay running backs though, but all these running backs are open season free agents
in the
NFL.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were talking about
Josh Jacobs, who just ran for 300.
Wait a minute.
300.
You know why I know this?
300 yards. You didn't have him on your fantasy team and you played somebody that had their fantasy team.
Yes. I was beating this gentleman all day long. And then Josh Jacobs goes off 33 carries for 229 yards. He had 6 receptions for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. A good pointing weekend in fantasy football would be anywhere from, say, 20 to 26. He got 48.3 points, and the guy beat me by 19. I'm like, come on, man.
Saquon Barkley, really good. Miles Sanders, really good. Tony Pollard, really good. David Montgomery, really good. Kareem Hunt, really good. Jamal Williams, really good. Oh, wow. That is a really bad job. I mean, I can't even read my own right. Jeff Wilson, Devin Singletary, Raheem Mostert, who leads the league in receptions. And Rashad Penny.
Mostert, you've heard he's already trash talking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the way he was treated in San Francisco, because Miami has San Francisco coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And my office buddy Josh, who's a big old 49er fan, came in today and said, all right, we're going to do some bulletin board material here because where's the trash talk? And I'm like, oh, dude, I really haven't watched sports that much. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I got Damian Harris, New England Patriots. So I get why people, because Kenneth Walker, he's going to be available. Michigan State kid, really good.
Right.
Not Kenneth Walker. Because he's with Seattle. What's the kid that's – I just watched him. There's a lot of good college football running backs that are out there. And they don't cost as much money. Those are all going to cost money. You have – this was Just some funny things, right?
I can't wait to see a healthy Breece Hall again, for Pete's sake. Exactly. He was going off.
He was. Two recruits from Ohio came to Ohio State Michigan game, and after the game, went to the Michigan locker room and signed with Michigan. How crazy is that? I saw that one today. I thought that was funny. This is my craziness of Aaron Rodgers, right? Who's the biggest one that he's had a problem with? It's been Christian Watson, right? Christian Watson, first play of the year, drops a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. Christian Watson now, in the last four games, has six touchdowns. He has more touchdowns for the season than Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, CD Lamb, T. Higgins, and Armonious St. Brown. And Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, we gotta make these offensive guys better. He's had a bad year. I mean, I'm...
What was the one going around? Carson Wentz has more touchdowns. More touchdowns this year, 10, to Russell Wilson, 7, and he hasn't played since week 6.
That is bad.
That is. And you look at that financially, you start writing down what he is locked into for the next how many years, and then the net that they have to,
untradeable.
Lord, yes.
Untradeable. You don't.
All right, I got this. My little potpourri on this one. I was going through my BetMGM, because obviously one of our sponsors, love them. And was looking. This was back on the 15th of November. $25 for the 2022-23 college basketball futures. I picked Iowa State to be the Big 12 conference regular season winners. $25. Guess what it was? Payout. $12.75.
Really?
I don't feel so bad about that right now.
No.
It's there's massive amount of parity in the Big 12. There always is. They'll go on their hot streak. There are different things like that.
If it was next year, I would have a hard time with that, because then you add in Houston. Houston's really good.
Oh, dude. It's
going to be,
we're just,
it's gonna
getting
be
better.
Fun.
It's, yeah. Yes. It's,
and
it's,
if you bring Gonzaga in as well, just to be basketball only, that's not a bad thing.
They were
thing.
Fun to watch. We watched some great.
Drew Timmy, by the way.
Timmy.
It just popped into my head.
No, it's Timmy.
Timmy!
Drew
Timmy!
There you go. But no, there was some great college basketball to watch this weekend. Loved it. Loved it, loved it.
It was fun. And it is, there are, you don't have to be, now, when you get into the bogged down part of the season, I get you're going to have 8, 9, 10 players. Iowa State's just going to play that way. University of Iowa's going to play that way. Dude, I'm telling you right now, in the way too early, just putting in for the tournament, Iowa State, Iowa, and Drake. Drake was a 12 seed,
right?
Going in. Tucker DeVries is on radar of, I mean, people get it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's, people that you tend to forget that he's 6'7", and he plays, and he has the ball in his hand all the time. He's just a really, really good player. And the other one, the Iowa State, please help me and back me up.
Which
one of the thing I said is with Tyrese Hunter, when Tyrese Hunter left,
yes,
I've been saying this all. Yes. I said Taman Lipsey is going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
Is he gonna score as much as Tyrese Hunter did? No, but he's gonna be a general on the floor. He's not gonna let people pick on people. He's gonna be in people's faces.
Right.
He's gonna, when a hard foul needs to be, he'll be that guy to say, okay, I'll go hard foul, and he's not gonna turn the ball over very much, and he's played great. Now take it one step further. Tyrese Halliburton is now on a streak in the NBA that's never been done before. In four games, he has 42 assists and zero turnovers.
Yep.
He is on an unknown Indiana Pacer team. He's getting to the point where he's one of the top 25 players in the league. The dude has the ball in his hand all the time, mm-hmm, looking for everybody else. And the last thing he wants to do is shoot, but he will. And over the weekend, the big deal is there that the LA Lakers want to trade Russell Westbrook and number one draft picks and trade them to Indiana for their big Miles Turner and for Buddy Hield. And I wrote all kinds of, don't do that. Russell Westbrook will ruin him. I hate that. Well, awesome as always.
You. I'll see you Thursday.
Thursday, we'll have a blast.
Absolutely.
I'll be in here tomorrow. Andrew John coming in here tomorrow talking NBA. You've been listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott, 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Steve's coming in here. He's got Hawkeye Huddle coming up. Enjoy that. It's going to be interesting.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700.